All the eyes.
So we'll probably need one soon.
Why don't we do number five?
Yeah, we did number five.
That's pretty short.
Thank you.
Mr. Marshall, the graduates for 2010 are assembled.
Thank you very much. Bonsoir, mesdames et messieurs. In about 2 minutes, the platform party will assemble themselves, come down the main thoroughfare, and enter here. I'll be back in about 1 or 2 minutes, and shortly they will be right on my last words. I'll be right back. You could give a nice hand for Brian Sand and the quintet. Bonsoir encore. My name is David Harp. I'm the University Marshal, the chef du protocole. Things will unfold smoothly. As you will hear, the University Piper, Kurt Johnston, is coming, leading the platform party, which will be a number of your professors, as well as at the very end of it will be the Chair of the Board of Governors, the Chancellor, and the Principal, Heather Monroe Bloom. The proceedings will start tonight with Winston Purdy singing the Alma Mater. It will end with O Canada. Also, Winston Purdy will be singing that along with a great many of you, I hope. I would ask that you quench your cell phones, if you would. It's a minor irritation to the people nearby. Just quench those, if you would, turn them right off. The last, one of the last items to mention are two items. One is that if you wish a download of this proceeding, go to the McGill webpage and then just type in the search box convocations, and there you will find a place where you can download this whole proceeding and see your special person walk the stage and hear the speeches and the like. There will be tonight an honorary degree. Sir Dean Hopkin will provide that, along with a teaching award that will be given, and a brief comment about that will be provided. I think tonight it should not be very long. It will certainly be under 90 minutes, so that by about 7:30, 7:20 perhaps, everything should be, I think, completely wrapped up. Also, there will be a reception. If you just exit to your right and go straight up the thoroughfare, you will see it by the Three Bears, or also up at the top by Leacock in the main outside promenade of the Leacock building. So you're all welcome for refreshments at that point, everyone who is here as well. And as you can hear, the Piper is coming in with the platform party, and I would ask you to rise. Levez-vous, s'il vous plaît, for the platform party.
Thank you, Professor Purdy. On behalf of McGill University, I would like to welcome you to our beautiful downtown campus for the convocation ceremony of students graduating from the Center for Continuing Education. It is customary for the Chancellor to open these proceedings with a statement congratulating graduates for having completed their studies, or at least this phase of their studies, and also to extend to members of their proud families our sincerest best wishes. For you have chosen to study at one of the world's best institutions of higher learning and have succeeded in reaching your goal and in earning your degree. This custom has continued for almost 200 years, and far be it from me to interrupt this time-honored tradition, having been so recently appointed as Chancellor. However, I'm not at all comfortable at this juncture in moving directly to the awarding of degrees. I strongly believe in another message, which I wish to convey to all of you sitting before me. Many, if not most of you, believe that getting a decent job or going on to obtain another degree, finding a suitable partner, and having children are, if achieved, the most important of life's goals. And I can speak from personal experience that each of these achievements brings immense satisfaction, and I can even add to that the joy of having grandchildren. Nevertheless, when I sat where you are 56 years ago, nobody mentioned our health. Yet your health may turn out to be the one most important area to bring satisfaction, and good health is likely the goal you can most control. I want to repeat that. Of all your life's goals, your health outcome is the one you can most easily control, more important than the benefits of even the best education. Controlling your health is much easier than ensuring a satisfactory working environment, and certainly easier than finding a suitable life partner. We all know that great strides have been made in medicine, particularly in cardiovascular disease and in controlling infections through antibiotics. Life expectancy has increased by a full generation over the past century. Yet far too many people are not fully enjoying these benefits due to chronic diseases, which are mostly preventable. And in spite of all the modern improvements, or possibly because of them, the cost of healthcare delivery is escalating and has reached alarming levels. These expenses are increasing at such a rate that most countries, including Canada, will run perpetual deficits with no relief in sight. This will impact on each of you either by taking away significant disposable income or by creating a lack of accessibility as governments cut back, or both. So for the great majority of you, there is a simple solution, and that is prevention through self-discipline. And it starts right now. You're all familiar with these solutions: give up smoking, avoid social drugs and excessive drinking, exercise regularly, and I mean daily, and understand what you eat and the implications of a proper diet. There is not a single scientific study, and there have been many thousands, that has come to a contrary conclusion. And so it starts today, and I repeat, it must begin today. Your quality of life will improve and keep improving for the great majority of you. Whatever setbacks you encounter, and we all suffer some, you will be better able to tolerate these both physically and mentally. And in closing, may I say to those parents and grandparents celebrating these events, it is truly never too late to start. In a recent study published in the Archives of Internal Medicine, the authors concluded, and I quote, that the lack of activity is one of the strongest predictors of unsuccessful aging for older adults, including the early onset of cognitive impairment. Let me repeat this. The lack of activity is one of the strongest predictors of unsuccessful aging for older adults. So for all of you here today, this has to be a lifelong endeavor. Bottom line, taking care of your health is an obligation you have to your fellow citizens, but taking care of your health is even more an obligation you have to yourselves. I would now like to call upon Professor Heather Monroe Bloom, Principal and Vice Chancellor, to address the audience. Thank you.
Thank you, Chancellor, for those wise words. I'm going to get out the yoga mat when I get home, start practicing. Chancellor, Chairman, Governors, our distinguished honorees, Sir Dian Hopkin, our teaching award winners, Ms. Juliet Mercuri Albizi, and Mr. Grant Brown, Provost, Dean, distinguished colleagues, friends, and most of all, graduating class. Bonsoir et bienvenue à tout le monde. As Principal and Vice Chancellor of McGill University, it is my great pleasure to welcome you here on the front lawn of our beautiful downtown campus. Graduating class, as you look at your family and friends here with you this evening, what you see is their look of pride in you, a pride that we all share in what you have accomplished at McGill and in what you will achieve as you continue to go throughout your lives. As we celebrate today, I ask the class of 2010 to join with me in expressing our gratitude to your family and friends for supporting you through your program here at McGill. We know that for you as continuing education students, both you and your families have made special sacrifices. Most of you have worked especially hard to manage the combined demands of school, work, and family. And I want to pay special tribute to you for your determination and your commitment. Many of you will be thinking about where life will take you next and the choices you will make. Nous vivons dans un monde où certains membres de votre famille, certains amis et collègues habiteront des pays lointains. Un monde où, même ici au Québec et au Canada, il est fort probable que votre réussite dépend de collaboration avec des gens de l'origine et l'expérience diffère largement des vôtres. As you step out into an increasingly global world with your diploma or certificate, remember that wherever you choose to live and work, you will be called on to rethink the way that you interact with the world around you, and while doing so, to reduce the gaps between those who have and those who do not. At McGill, we know you have learned to collaborate, to innovate and contribute individually as well as through your work in groups, and to reflect on who you are and where you can best make a difference. As you and all of us rise to meet the challenges of our world, we are dependent on knowledge, on the values and practices we have learned and reflected on, and most significantly, on dedicated and creative individuals, leaders, professionals and citizens, people just like you, our graduating class. Class of 2010, you are cultivating an open mind, a willingness to reassess your values and practices as you gain experience, and perhaps most importantly, an appetite for complexity. And this is a good thing, for the world is certainly increasingly complex. We are confident that for you, graduating class, your time at McGill has exposed you to the richness of the world you enter today now as graduates of McGill. At McGill, you will have sought and gained knowledge and experience and learned from the best and brightest students and professors. You have experienced an environment where the pursuit of knowledge and skills is an ultimate goal, where the exchange of ideas, particularly provocative and controversial ideas, is encouraged, where we respect fundamentally our academic freedoms and our freedom of speech. And along with our great good fortune of living and studying and working in a peaceful democracy and prosperous society, comes a special responsibility to take on the social, environmental, and financial challenges of our world. And in celebrating you today, class of 2010, we also celebrate the Center for Continuing Education. The Center for Continuing Education began as a series of public lectures in 1856, and it's continued to help people learn, qualify, and grow throughout their lives. Dean Judith Potter, your leader, joined McGill 2 years ago, bringing with her great vision, energy, and creative, innovative approaches to continuing education, a strong passion for lifelong learning. Already under her leadership, the Center for Continuing Education has launched new programs and offerings in the areas of personal and cultural enrichment, career and management studies, and English and French language programs. The Center's longstanding strength in the teaching of English and French as second languages has been recognized this year. The Certificate Program in Professional Communication in English and French has been selected for a Program Excellence Award by the Canadian Association for University Continuing Education. Class of 2010, we are very proud that you are now joining the more than 210,000 distinguished people around the world who make up McGill's Living Alumni, a roster that includes our great chancellor, our chairman, and in a few moments, Sir Diane Hopkin. And graduating class, as you leave here today, please undertake to stay in touch with your alma mater. You may be sure that we will stay in touch with you. In closing, remember that you will carry the good name of McGill everywhere you go. Please represent us well. And as you do, three pieces of simple but compelling advice from an ancient scholar. As our chancellor has said, take care of yourself. If you are not for yourself, who will be? Strive to make the world a better place. If you are only for yourself, you will have failed. Don't be afraid to act, to give back to your community, your profession, your country, and your world. But for now, this evening, this is your special time. Savor every moment. Félicitations. Enjoy this evening.
Thank you, Madam Principal, for those great words of wisdom. I now ask Ms. Effie Dracopoulos, Coordinator for the English and French Language Programs, to introduce Professor Julia Mercure-Albizzi from the English and French Language Programs, this year's winner of the Center for Continuing Education Award for Distinguished Teaching.
Madam Vice Chancellor, it is with honor and great pleasure that I introduce to you Julia Mercure-Albizzi, recipient of the Award for Distinguished Teaching of the Center for Continuing Education. Our language learners at the Center for Continuing Education come to us from all parts of the globe and all walks of life. Their different professional, educational, and cultural backgrounds, as well as expectations of what a course should be, pose particular challenges to lecturers. Lecturers must be flexible in their instructional approaches, sensitive to cultural differences, understanding of learner apprehensions, and knowledgeable in many subjects. It is evident by her receiving this award that Julia possesses all these attributes. Julia began her career in teaching English as a second language at Continuing Education almost 30 years ago. Since then, she has evolved into a seasoned lecturer valued by both her students and her peers. In the words of one of her students, Julia donne le goût d'étudier l'anglais, est dévouée, dynamique et passionnée par l'enseignement, crée un climat propice à l'apprentissage dans la convivialité. Everyone who has met Julia has been marked by her humanism, her great concern for people and their needs, well-being, and interests. Furthermore, Julia's grand curiosity and thirst for knowledge are mirrored only by her great modesty, a combination that has proved to be the cornerstone of her impeccable reputation as a teacher and as a compassionate human being. Her eloquence, level-headedness, and leadership qualities further distinguish her as an excellent teacher and respected colleague. On behalf of the Department of English and French Language Programs, I would like to congratulate the woman who makes her students fall in love with the language of Shakespeare, Julia Mercuri Albisi.
I now ask Mrs. Carmen Cecilio, Director of the Career and Management Studies, to introduce Professor Grant Brown from Career and Management Studies, this year's winner of the Center for Continuing Education Award for Distinguished Teaching.
Much better. Madam Vice Chancellor, I have the honor and great pleasure to introduce Grant Brown, recipient of the Award for Distinguished Teaching of the Center of Continuing Education. Grant has dedicated 43 years of his life teaching mathematics, and students have recognized in Grant a teacher who is characterized by his knowledge and his pedagogical qualities. Let me share with you some of the things that students have said about him. Mr. Grant is extremely passionate about his class, dynamic and supportive, very understanding when it comes to realizing that many students have not put a foot in a classroom in years, sometimes decades. He is great at attacking a subject that most people are not confident in or have trouble with. He makes math fun, a bit of an actor's talent, very encouraging to all. I never understood math until I met him. I'm always available to answer questions, even when not in a lecture period. He allows the students to explore other ways as long as it results in the right answers. I enjoyed his teaching style so much that I have specifically registered for his class for a next course. I can go on, but I think that you have a very good picture of what kind of instructor Grant is. It is with great pleasure that the Center of Continuing Education, in recognition of his dedication to excellence in teaching and his ability to motivate and stimulate his students, presents the 2010 Award for Distinguished Teaching to Mr. Grant Brown.
I now ask Professor Judith Potter, Dean of the Center for Continuing Education, to present Sir Dian Hopkin, that he may have conferred upon him the highest recognition that is within the power of this university to grant.
Mr. Chancellor, it is my great pleasure to present to you Sir Dian Hopkin, internationally recognized scholar and educator, deeply committed to furthering the linkages between universities and their multiple communities, and to advancing education as an instrument of social change. Rooted in the linguistic, cultural, and historical richness of Wales, yet building much of his career in England, Sir Dian, a Welsh speaker, well understands the blessings and the challenges that form part of the French-English tapestry of Cette Provence Magnifique. He can also relate well to the experiences of the many immigrant communities represented here today in our graduating class because of his extensive efforts to expand accessibility to higher education in the United Kingdom. Sir Dian's choice of Welsh labour history as his academic specialty was, without a doubt, not coincidental, but emerged from his experiences with and his curiosity about the working class world around him. His international profile is well established in both his practice as an historian and in his role as an academic administrator in European community contexts. Equally significant, however, for this occasion, this audience, and this honor, are the underlying values that he has displayed through an academic career that has included leadership at several British institutions, as well as appointments to numerous boards and commissions for the purpose of advancing the critical role of education in society. He is an outspoken champion for high-quality public education, innovation and accessibility at the post-secondary level, and has consistently connected universities with their publics in meaningful ways that further community, economic, and social development. Having tried to retire on several occasions from over 40 years in higher education, Sir Dian keeps getting called back, most recently to provide leadership to the troubled student loans company in the UK that handles student financing for over 2 million individuals per year. He is indeed a stellar example of a lifelong learner, firmly rooted in his discipline, but accepting challenges on every front. He is accomplished in diverse and multiple spheres, including one very close to the hearts of Montrealers, namely jazz. His recent knighthood, one of Britain's highest honors, is recognition of Sir Dian's immense contributions. Mr. Chancellor, I present to you Sir Dian Hopkin, that you may confer upon him the degree of Doctor of Laws, honoris causa.
Ladies and gentlemen, it's my great pleasure to invite Dr. Dian Hopkin to deliver the convocation address. Sir Dian.
Chancellor, Principal, Chairman, the Board, Dean, fellow graduands, ladies and gentlemen, first, may I express both enormous pride and a profound sense of humility at being awarded this unexpected but most welcome honorary degree, and from this distinguished university. I've walked past McGill's fine buildings on more than one occasion over the past 40 years. In fact, the first time in 1963 as a student tourist. And even last July, when my wife and I joined our Canadian friends again at the Montreal Jazz Festival, little did we think, as we walked along Sherbrooke, that we would be here today. And so I am deeply grateful to you, Chancellor, for this honor. Je suis enchanté de me retrouver à Montréal, ville qui fait preuve d'un esprit si entreprenant, d'une culture internationale si vibrante et d'une pédagogie de première catégorie, surtout ici à McGill. Je suis plus honoré de me joindre à cette convocation et de participer donc ce soir à vos fêtes. Je vous remercie également de bien vouloir me permettre de partager avec vous quelques petites réflexions au moment de cette occasion inestimable. Thank you for allowing me to say a few words. I'm particularly pleased to be associated with a sense of a continuing education here at McGill because of its resonances for me. Although much of my own career has been spent within the walls of established universities, I've always taken a keen and direct interest, as you so very kindly said, Dean, in the issues of raising aspiration and widening participation and for lifelong learning, the raison d'etre, the very heart of this center. Indeed, the university, both my wife, Lynn, who is here with me, and I attended Aberystwyth in Wales, which we like to say, by the way, Wales is the original part of the British Isles, no offense meant to any from Scotland or Ireland or England, but it was founded intentionally to offer opportunities to those who had little. In Welsh, we say, Sefydlwyd trwy geiniogau prin y werin, established through the precious pennies of the people. And the people is a broad concept here. They were benefactors, of course, very much like James McGill, who gave so generously to establish this university. But there are also collections of money within coal mining and slate quarrying communities, among trade unions, in chapels and churches, all fed by the passionate desire of people to gain a better future for their children. But those communities also fostered informal learning groups for themselves, precursors of today's continuing education. Of course, we in Wales, like you in Quebec and in Canada, understand only too well the challenge and opportunity of bilingual cultures in the modern age. I, like many here today, learnt English as a second language, having been educated entirely through the medium of Welsh from the age of three. Our language was in long decline under economic pressure from outside, but official policies and the establishment of successful television and radio stations have helped to turn things round. But for centuries, it was informal learning which kept the flame alive. And it was the incorporation of that informal learning within the academy that laid the foundations of today's success story. McGill's own illustrious history in informal learning began, as you all know, in the home of Professor Alexander Skakel at the beginning of the 19th century with his experimental lectures in chemistry. Indeed, McGill was way ahead of its time. Its reference to continuing education in the formal prospectus of 1853 comes a full 54 years before the first claimed continuing education program across the border in the US at Wisconsin-Madison. Of course, I'm making no invidious comparisons here at all. The history of continuing education, indeed, provides remarkable insights into the human will, into the true meaning of the phrase, hunger for knowledge. Over the years, we've had many descriptors and labels: adult education, extramural education, extension, continuing, lifelong learning. But they all constitute the same thing: the recognition that education does not stop at 21. Higher education isn't just composed of full-time courses. But it is the engagement of great institutions such as McGill which has given such impetus to the concept and practice of continuing education. For us in the UK, one of the great educational achievements of the last 50 years was the foundation of the Open University, an entirely part-time university which pioneered distance learning, offering a full range of degree qualification to doctoral level. Indeed, its vice-chancellor of the 1990s, Sir John Daniel, had a distinguished career here in Quebec, at Concordia in Montreal, at Concordia, Trois-Rivières, and the universities of Montreal and Quebec, before becoming president of Laurentian. And I'm delighted to say, 3 years ago, received an honorary degree from U2. It was through the Open University that I had my first real exposure of the power of continuing education. I was one of the first tutors 40 years ago, because the students were a total revelation. The intellectual challenge, tremendous. The sense of fulfillment, overwhelming. And by the way, there were some totally, totally unexpected moments. I will never forget a dark winter's evening when we'd gone to bed and a police car suddenly screamed up outside our house just on midnight, lights flashing, a vigorous knock on the door. Quite worried, as one might be at that moment, I tentatively opened the front door. "Mr. Hopkin," said the large police officer, and then thrust an envelope in my hands. "Sorry about this, it's not quite midnight. The sergeant wanted to get his essay to you before tomorrow." I don't quite remember any of my other undergraduates being quite so keen to hand in a piece of work. Continuing education has an illustrious past and will, I know, have an equally distinguished future, because as the population changes, life expectancy increases, the economy evolves, the demands for education will also increase. We have given increasing opportunities to young people, and that is admirable. But we need to continue to do more for those who may not have had the same advantage when they were younger or simply want to enhance their own qualifications. Continuing education, lifelong learning, are fundamental to our continuation as a civilized, sustainable society and a successful economy. And one might add, at this time in our history, when we are a little concerned about economic constraints, not least, may I say, in Europe, we must not be tempted to stop investing in education, because that is our future. Now, I've read with great interest the reports of this center's activity in issues of the bridge. And indeed, today we were delighted, my wife and I, to visit the center at 688 Sherbrooke and meet staff and see students. And I also visited the McGill Institute for Learning in Retirement, something very close to my heart. And shall I say, I've got a leaflet, and Dean, you may wish to enroll me before I leave here tonight. But there's always more to do. Ever more effective work-based learning, closer partnership with business and professions, constant effort to create new ladders of progression, to ensure that age, social class, economic position are no barriers to educational attainment. And that whatever mode we use, part-time or full-time, we can all reach the same destination. And at the same time, however, as the Principal's Task Force on Excellence, Diversity, and Community Engagement makes very clear, widening access need not and should not compromise quality. The continued search for excellence, something for which this university is renowned. Well, teaching and learning is constantly changing. To the lecture, the seminar, the tutorial, the essay has been added. Learner-centered approaches, peer learning, prior learning assessment and recognition, all forms of pedagogy need to be used to reach out to the widest audience and to maintain the highest standards. And they are the hallmarks of this Center for Continuing Education and indeed McGill University itself. I am very proud, Chancellor, indeed, to have received this honorary degree today from you, from this great university and this fine Center for Continuing Education. Your goals are ones with which I wholeheartedly concur. Your values are those I share. Your aspirations I admire, and your achievements I applaud. And today I'm delighted to join with the staff of the Center and those across the university in congratulating all of you here who are attending this convocation to celebrate your own personal achievement. In the end, your success is the greatest testimony to the success of continuing education in McGill. Encore une fois, je vous remercie de bien vouloir m'accorder cet honneur. Permettez-moi à mon tour de vous offrir tous mes souhaits de bonheur et de réussite. De notre voyage de retour, ma femme et moi garderons de très précieux souvenirs de cette soirée si chaleureuse. On behalf of my wife Lynn and I, may I thank you most sincerely for the honor you've given me. I will never forget it. Thank you.
One used to think of the Renaissance man or the Renaissance woman as someone who learned almost everything there was to know and stopped there. And what we see from Sir Dian is that the true Renaissance person is someone who knows, and he certainly qualifies, but who's somebody who never stops learning. And I think that's a lesson that all of us really should take to heart. Thank you, Sir Dian, for that very inspired talk today. We will now proceed with the conferring of the academic degrees, and I call upon the Provost, Professor Anthony Massey, to commence the formal proceedings. Professor Massey.
Thank you, Mr. Chancellor. I am pleased to invite the students graduating from programs in the Center for Continuing Education to come forward for the conferral of their diplomas or certificates. Each student crossing the stage will be greeted by the Chancellor, the Principal, or the Chair of the Board of Governors. Students may leave their mortarboard hats on, and they will be ceremonially tapped on their shoulder to congratulate them for the achievement of their certificate or diploma. In most cases, this tapping is done lightly. But the university cannot guarantee the actual force that will be used by my colleagues in executing this maneuver. A parchment of the diploma will be given to each student as he or she leaves the stage. En vertu des pouvoirs qui me sont conférés par le Sénat de McGill, je déclare que les candidats dont le nom figure sur la liste des diplômés de l'université, qu'ils soient présents ou absents, ont satisfait aux exigences de leur grade, diplôme ou certificat respectif. By virtue of the powers conferred upon me by McGill's Senate, I declare that the candidates whose names appear on the university's list of graduates, whether they be present or absent, have satisfied the requirements for their respective degrees, diplomas, or certificates. I now invite Professor James Archibald to read the names of the to introduce the graduates by reading their names, and for Dean Judith Potter to distribute the diplomas to all the students. Congratulations, félicitations.
Chair, for the Graduate Diploma in Human Resources Management, Valérie Lucie Carignan. René Felipe Garcia. Inut Michael Vigore. Anne-Marie Christine Kirsch, Dean's Honor List. Camille Luna. Melanie Beth Menschik. Papa Ngane. Michael Anthony Palofsky, Dean's Honor List. Melissa Quinto. May Mendoza Virola. Moyan Yazdani Sesan. Cyril Zimmer. For the Graduate Diploma in Public Relations Management, Samia Antari. Eric Arsenault. Catherine Colley, Dean's Honor List. Denise Irène Gagnon. Miao He. Leslie Jackson. Jillian Nicole Lapidus. Melissa Lass. Pierre Lessard. Aras Nerjivanian. Kelly Allison Taylor. Catherine Villebrun. For the Graduate Diploma in Translation, English to French, Maryse Couture. For the Graduate Diploma in Translation in Spanish to English, Tanya Capua. For the Graduate Certificate in Accounting Practice, Miriam Daka. Hayan Hui. Faruzan Sharsogi. Concettina Triassi. Zhe Ming Zhang. For the Graduate Certificate in E-Business, Gino D'Urbano. Jaime Alberta Peñuela. For the Graduate Certificate in Entrepreneurship, Hector Dana. Also receiving a Graduate Certificate in Internet Business. Luis Alberto López de Juan Abad Monasterios. For the Graduate Certificate in Human Resources Management, Cynthia De Sanctis. Vanessa Esposito. Cassandre Lafontaine. For the Graduate Certificate in International Business, Carla Berenice Padilla Sasueta. Jeffrey Seidel, also receiving the Graduate Certificate in Taxation. Sebastian Eduardo Victorica. For the graduate certificate in Internet Business, Fariar Fati. For the graduate certificate in Leadership, Mohammed Sharif Bakir. For the graduate certificate in Marketing, Ahmed Zaki El Shinawi. Antonetta Sevatnova Toneva. For the graduate certificate in Operations Management, William Lewis. Warsama Yusuf Omar. Madam Vice Chair. For the graduate certificate in Taxation, Rola Abusido. For the graduate certificate in Treasury Finance, Ramzi Besaoud. Ying Jia Li. For the diploma in accounting, Tatania Bogachkina. Chi Chao. Zhong Chen. Lorena Alejandra García. Philippe Michel Grandvillain. Carolee Hildebrand, Dean's Honor List. Brenda Lamb, Dean's Honor List. Yan Li, Dean's Honor List. Juan Liu, Dean's Honor List. Lydia Meyer. Chuma Rosetta Ojukwu. Kiao Kiao. Louise Renault. Laura Lydia Tuca. Nan Zheng. For the diploma in management in e-business, Joseph Kamwena. For the diploma in management in entrepreneurship, Tarek Ahmad El Youssef. For the diploma in management in general management, Haralambos Christianis, Jacob Jonker Memorial Prize. Abud Kaplo. Mohammed Wagdi Khalifa. Mohammed Lukili. Rathini Sivan Andraja. Mahtab Yahdi Yahgani. For the diploma in management in healthcare, Janice Marie Bourgeois. Sharon Ipunshu. For the Diploma in Management in International Business, Dagmawi Habti Selassie. Jorge Manuel Luque. Sara Miri. Jane Sorensen. For the Diploma in Management in Leadership, Han Eng Anderson. Yinji Yi. Yas Zia. For the Diploma in Management in Marketing, Matthew Richard Adler, Dean's Honor List. John Ames. Leonardo Bonilla Martinez. Catalina Rico Quintero. Yan Zheng. For the Diploma in Management in Operations Management, Stefan Lokoki. W. Andre Menes, Dean's Honor List. For the Diploma in Management in Treasury Finance, Wada Aziz, Abiti Bowater Prize, American Express Prize in Management, Treasury Finance, Dean's Honor List. Eleonora Forero. Maktok Ganjenash. Sofia Sanchez Mendoza. Mohammed Farouk Shad. Zhou Chang. Sergei Zhukov. For the Certificate in Aboriginal Social Work Practice, Anne Agnès Carrière, Dean's Honor List. For the Certificate in Accounting, Salvatore Amante. Saeed Ali Azam. Antonio Bizarro, also receiving a Certificate in Risk Management. Rachel Galati, also receiving a certificate in risk management. Jiang He. Noor Hossain. Niketa Patel. Maha Razik. Irene Yi, also receiving a certificate in risk management. For the certificate in human resources management, Sharon Cannon. Shayama Damayanti Disanaki. Miriam Dodal. Martine Dupuis. Ingrid Julia Goddard. Farah Harb. Marie Nancy Jean. Karina Lavallee. Helen Legrand. Maryse Mercier. Dahlia Mightley. Saif Mohammed. Mihai Alessandro Montean. Diana Neptina Radu. John Herbert Rocha, Honda St. Rose Award, Dean's Honor List. Marcella Seeley. Cynthia Sibanda. Babandeep Kaur Sidhu. Dorothy Spindleman. Madonna Stowe, Dean's Honor List. Michaela Carmen Tambasco. Laura Todorio. For the Certificate in Logistics Management, Mohandan Saad Abdul Rahman. Maria Cleopatra Perez, Dean's Honor List. Florin Puskaciu. Betul Sag. George Webe, also receiving a certificate in management. For the certificate in management, Andalib Ahmed. Moulay Rashid Belushi, also receiving a certificate in entrepreneurship. Edward John Booth. Réjean Caron. Vlad Davidescu. Mohammed Elgash. Ovidio Orel Harfas. Farid Lagin, McGill Associates Prize in Management, Dean's Honor List. Mike Nigai Kung. Jessica Tambasco. Han Yang. For the Certificate in Marketing, Kent Crutchfield, Dean's Honor List. Pascal Stéphane Patnaud, Dean's Honor List. Tian Fu Chie. For the Certificate in Public Relations, Talia Nathalie Aznavour. Alexa Azran. Jacqueline Bieber. Jacqueline Lamar. Jeffrey Mollick. Florence Petit-Gagnon. Melissa Ricci. Andrew Lawrence Smith. Nela Varadin. Valerie Windsor. For the Certificate in Public Relations Management, Jacqueline Barrow. Mr. Chair. Caroline Kwaki. Serge Valliere, Dean's Honor List. For the Certificate in Software Development, José Mario Bustamante March. Christian Nicola Grigore. Yong Qiang Ma. For the Certificate in Systems Analysis and Design, Vedran Cekovic. Fritz Geiger, Dean's Honor List. Nazli Kalkali. Sheikh Fall. For the Certificate in Translation in English to French, Joanne Bernard. Désirée Cindy Dumont. Anne Fournier. Olena Gerasimenko. Dijana Lazar. Veronique Gerant, yes I am. For the certificate in translation in French English to Spanish, Adelina Nine Castillo Gonzalez. Juan Carlos Diaz David. Alfredo Jacques Hernandez. Gloria Danila Marchepoitras. Herta Sandra Nava Chabal. Carlos Rodriguez. For the certificate in translation in French to English, Lisa Nan Delisle. Jelena Holland. Nina Holt. Barbara Kudinsky. Michelle McDonald. Emily Salmons, McGill Associates Prize in Translation, Dean's Honor List. For the certificate in translation in Spanish to English, Brigitte Pioro. For the certificate in translation in Spanish to French, Michel Bernier, Dean's Honor List. Bernard Vaillancourt. For the certificate in transport and logistics, Cameron Sikandar. For the certificate of proficiency English for Professional Communication Program, Nadia Abdul Fadil. Rodrica Adelina Alexandro, Dean's Honor List. Catherine Cancino Waman. Francis Colas. Peribus Daliang Golu. Hassan Hamzawi, Dean's Honor List. Pablo Damian Nobel. Marjorie Oss. Dong Huang Park. Miriam Marta Perez Bero. Ciprian Pristavita. Olga Luisa Sanchez. Renata Bianca Tomaselli. Karina Vega. For the certificates of proficiency in English, language, and culture, Faten Saleh Al-Jaifi. Nora Mofre Amar. Yasman Azimi. Shaima Abdulbaji Dawood. Ayawawi Mawayuno Dogbe. Pamela Fontes. Shinji Han. Niloufar Husseini. Futini Koutsis, Dean's Honor List. Thomas Lalonde. Douglas Martins da Silva. Stephanie Ouellette, Dean's Honor List. Pedro Rafael Prado. Youssef Radua. Annie Roy. Rumi Takagi. Ailun Wu. For the Certificate of Proficiency French for Professional Communication, Saeed Hashemi Tabatapatei. Gabriel Paduano. For the Certificate of Proficiency in French, Language and Culture, Noua Rebbe Sherif. Tara Marie Guido. Megan Elizabeth Hutt. For the Certificate of Proficiency in Spanish, Nicholas Lawrence Fome.
Thank you, Professor Archibald. Would the graduating class please rise? In my capacity as Chancellor of McGill University, I declare and confirm that each of you is now entitled to the distinction of the degree, diploma, or certificate that has been conferred upon you with all the honors, rights, privileges, and responsibility that are pertinent thereto. Congratulations. The celebrations continue. I want to invite graduates, their families and friends to the terrace in front of the Leacock building for refreshments. And now I ask the Secretary General, Mr. Stephen Stropel, to read the benediction.
go now in peace and share the gift of knowledge that has been entrusted to you. May this university and all graduates be diligent in the free and honest pursuit of truth for the benefit of all. We come from and return to many lands. May in hope and humility, may we continue in friendship and grow in solidarity and wisdom. May you be blessed all your days.
And now our national anthem.
Thank you. Thank you.